Welcome to another exciting episode of the Street Photography Show podcast. As always, I am your host, Mark Rossi, and tonight we will be speaking with Lawrence Bouchard. Lawrence is a Tokyo-based street photographer who is originally from the UK. Lawrence moved to Tokyo in 2009, and this sealed his interest in photography forever as he navigated and attempted to understand this exciting, vibrant, and eccentric new culture. Initially, he was using just his iPhone for photography, which led to Apple selecting him to represent Tokyo for their iPhone 7 campaign in 2017. After the iPhone 7 campaign, Lawrence invested in a digital camera and now continues to shoot with both cameras interchangeably, continually adapting himself to new technologies and techniques that push him forward in his art. Welcome to the Street Photography Show podcast, Lawrence Bouchard. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, hi, Mark.
Thank you for being on the show. I got to tell you, I was looking at your Instagram because that's where you and I connected. And I mean, I loved your work. At first glance, I thought, wow, you know, very, very talented, great eye,
thanks.
Beautiful images. Like, I mean that. I sincerely mean that. Just beautiful, beautiful images.
Thanks.
So I'm so thrilled that you're here having this conversation with me tonight. What propelled you to pick up the camera and start shooting street?
I guess for me, it was moving. So I'm from England, and I moved to Japan about 15 years ago. And yeah, I think it was just the everything felt fresh. And I kind of came at it from an iPhone to begin with. So I basically moved here, got an iPhone, and then just felt sort of that I wanted to try and capture that sort of the things I was seeing, which felt fresh at the time. Yeah, I guess also it was a sort of, you know, a sort of escape in a way from the work, the daily job. So it's sort of, you know, my sort of, you know, going out taking photos was my kind of escape from, you know, whatever the work day job.
How long have you been photographing on the streets? And, you know, you say you went to Japan and it was all fresh and it was all new. Would you say that's really when it all started?
Yeah, I've been in Japan for 15 years now. And I think it was, I guess, a few months after I arrived, I got an iPhone. And then basically from that point on, I was, you know, on the way home from work or on the way to work, you know, just taking photos with the iPhone. And then that's kind of how it started. And I think I also did one of those projects where you do the 365 photos, you know, you take a photo every day and upload it to Instagram. So, you know, it kind of pushes you to take a photo every day, even though I think I kind of went back and deleted most of those later on because most of them were pretty rubbish. But, it, you know, it's a good way to sort of force yourself to take photos. Yeah, so that's kind of how I came at it. Yeah, mainly with the iPhones. And then I think, what was it, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was approached by Apple to work on their iPhone 7 campaign. So yeah, that was, yeah, really interesting. It was a good experience. And from that, with the money I got from that, then I decided to invest that in a proper camera. So I got a Sony A7 R2. One of the reasons for that was, yeah, I felt, you know, the iPhone at night was kind of fairly limited. Started shooting with the Sony, but yeah, I sometimes still shoot with the iPhone, but recently it's become less. So more the Sony these days.
What a thrill that must have been to have been approached by Apple to work with them. I mean, that must have been a thrill when you got that email or that phone call or that contact, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, basically the campaign was called Dusk Till Dawn. So I think, you know, the idea is, I think it was November the 5th, and you basically go out about sort of 5 p.m., 4 p.m., and you basically shoot all night until the morning. Yeah, there were photographers from cities all around the world doing the same campaign. You know, a lot of things you planned, as is often the way with street photography, didn't actually come off, or there were problems, but you know, that's just how it is, really, I guess.
I mean, you did that 365 project you just mentioned. You know, I've heard of those kind of projects where, you know, you shoot for a month or 2 months every day, and even the year-round one, which is the one you did. How hard was it to do that, to maintain that? Did you truly maintain it? And if you did, and even if you didn't, what did you learn through that project, that 365 project? What did you learn as a photographer, as a human being? What was one thing you could share with the listeners that you learned?
Well, I guess it's just, you know, sometimes you're going to work or you're just on a lunch break and you're just trying to sort of push yourself to try and get one photo every day. That's good. But yeah, as I said, I think I went back and deleted later quite a lot of those photos because, you know, they're just, you know, you're sometimes not really in that interesting locations or whatever. But I think it's a good thing to do to try and sort of force yourself to do it. But yeah, but I mean, the way I kind of approach photography these days has changed. These days it's more like I try to set aside one time a week at least, pick a location, or also it could be sort of weather dependent. Like in the winter in Tokyo, you don't get much rain, so there hasn't been much, you don't get that much time to shoot when it's raining in the winter.
What does street photography mean to you then? You know, you said that when you moved to Tokyo 15 years ago, it was an escape for you. You know, everything was fresh. What did it mean to you when you started doing it? And what does it mean to you now that you've been doing it for, you know, a decade and a half?
Yeah, I don't think it's really changed that much in some ways. It's still, you could say, a form of escapism, or even sometimes I see it as a kind of meditative experience, not just taking photos, but also when you get back and you editing and, you know, you're just kind of in that zone. You know, I guess you just, once you start, you just want to keep trying to get good photos. And as for what it means to me, I'm not really sure, to be honest, but it's just this sort of, some kind of drive just to sort of keep doing it.
When you first started doing it and you're using an iPhone, you're taking pictures, how did you train yourself? Did you go through a process where you were asking yourself, you know, what if I take the shot like this, or what if I try to do this or this and that, or was it simply just kind of, you know, I'll shoot what I think looks good? Like, did you have any preconception of an idea, or was it all spontaneous?
Oh, yeah, definitely there's preconceptions. Like, I'd sometimes think of a location and think about how I could shoot it. Sometimes it's not spontaneous at all. Sometimes it's, I've been at home and thought, okay, I want to go there and shoot there and I want to try and get this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I noticed that you shoot a lot of black and white. In fact, I think all of your work is black and white, if I'm not mistaken. There is some colors, but predominantly it is black and white. $1 million question here. It's obvious that you shoot more in black and white. And is there a reason for that? Do you prefer black and white?
Yeah, generally I prefer black and white, but I don't know. I mean, if I'm shooting at night, to be honest, I tend to shoot probably more color if I'm shooting at night, but I don't really shoot at night so much. But yeah, I don't know, for me, black and white, it's just much simpler rather than, you know, the colors. It can sort of, it's a different sort of thing. But yeah, black and white, I think it just keeps it much simpler.
That's the age-old argument, right? That black and white is less distracting. It is more simple. It's more of a focused look, if you will. Perhaps the color at night thing comes from the fact that maybe Tokyo is very vibrant at night. I mean, from what I know of Tokyo, I've never been to Tokyo, but from what I know of Tokyo, the nightlife is quite colorful. The lights, the ambience of the city at night is quite vibrant. And I'm wondering if perhaps that's in some ways why you shoot color, perhaps. I'm taking a stab in the dark here.
I mean, yeah, definitely, like places like Shibuya and Shinjuku, yeah, lots of neon, lots of bright lights, and especially if it's raining, yeah, I just think it tends to look better in color.
Certainly, with the images that I see here on your Instagram feed, the ones that are taken in color, a lot of them are at night. I mean, there are some that aren't, but I would say for the most part, for the ones that I've certainly scrolled through, they seem to be at night, and they are quite vivid, and I mean, like, they're just beautiful, like, really, really beautiful. There's so many here that I could talk to you over a beer about. Like, honestly, they're just fantastic. Are you by nature a shy person, or are you more like, would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert or somewhere in the middle? And I'm wondering, depending on your definition of your character, would you say that's a hindrance? Would you say that's a motivation for your photography?
Yeah, I think by nature, I'm probably more of an introvert, but, I guess that one of the things is when I started street photography, I did find it quite difficult to, take photos with people in that were close. Although most of my work, I think, is a little bit, not that close. Quite a lot of it's fairly distant, but, But yeah, I think that's just something you just learn to sort of get over. Yeah, maybe it takes a little bit of time. But I mean, now it's not something I even really think about. But I teach some workshops, and when I'm doing the workshops, some people seem to be reluctant to sort of get that, you know, even very close to people and take a photo. But the thing is also, I think Tokyo is a really good place to photograph because, yeah, I mean, I guess for one, people in Japan, that they're quite sort of, you know, they don't really sort of get in your face much if you're out taking photos, even with a flash, you know, which I haven't done that much, but didn't really have any problems. Whereas I think maybe in Europe or America, you'd probably have a bit more, you know, pushback about it. But in Japan, sometimes people talk about the gaijin pass, gaijin meaning foreigner. So like one of my Japanese friends says, you know, basically you're a foreigner, so you kind of have a free pass. You know, people just think, oh, it's just some foreigner taking photos, and, you know, whereas maybe if a Japanese person was doing it, maybe they'd have a bit more, yeah, pushback perhaps.
As a Japanese person, you're saying they'd have probably an eyebrow or two raised at them.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, okay, and that's fine. I mean, yes, I can see your work is not super close for the most part. Are you using a zoom or are you using something like a prime?
Depends. I mean, basically, when I'm shooting daytime, I normally carry two lenses, which are 16 to 35 zoom and 24 to 70. But if I'm shooting at night, it's usually prime, so either 24 or 50, 55, sometimes an 85.
What inspires you?
I think for the nighttime photography, it's a sort of, some of the inspiration is Blade Runner, you know, but for me, more the original Blade Runner, trying to sort of capture images that could sort of be like stills from the movie.
Wow, that's a classic with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of photographers I'm inspired by.
Such as?
Fan Ho is one, a Hong Kong photographer from maybe the 50s. He was a big inspiration. Yeah, I don't know really what I just feel like every week, you know, if I can get one photo I really like, then yeah, then it just feels, you know, if I go a week without getting a good photo, then I don't know, it just kind of feels like a waste in some ways.
What other sources of inspiration would you say you've tapped into other than photographers? And you can rhyme off more if you like, but even things like books or videos or organizations, friends, what other sources would you say played a role in your influence?
Not really any books, to be honest. Or I mean, Instagram is, I guess, a daily influence. You know, I mean, there's always sort of certain photographers I follow, and you're like, okay, that's really cool. And yeah, that's always, you know, inspiring seeing the photos that other people are taking. And yeah, there's a whole load of photographers that I find inspiring. But yeah, that's probably it, really. I mean, yeah.
So you mentioned in the beginning, you know, it was hard to get over the fear of photographing people, and eventually you overcame it, correct?
Yeah.
How did you train yourself? What happened? How did you get from extremely shy, let's say, for lack of a better term, to now where you don't even think about it? Was it just a matter of doing it every day, or was it, you know, was there something that you actually did to help yourself with that?
Yeah, I think it's just forcing yourself to do it. The other thing is, I think when I was originally having that problem of shyness, you know, then you sort of, when you didn't take that photo, you'd sort of come away thinking, you know, why didn't I just take it? I mean, you know, it's always, you know, there's always, I guess, the question of people's privacy, that kind of thing. But I think so long as you're not portraying people in a bad light, then it's fine. But yeah, it's just a matter of forcing yourself to do it. And then when you've done it enough, then it doesn't really become an issue anymore. I mean, I think in 15 years, I've only had one person complain.
So not many run-ins.
No. And that time it was actually, there was a cool, I don't know if you pronounce it, Hermes building in Ginza. It's a really beautiful glass building. And it was raining. It was late at night. And I guess I was just waiting for somebody to pass. And this woman passed, and she had an umbrella and she was wearing a mask, so you couldn't really even see her face. But then afterwards I walked around the corner and she was with a couple of policemen pointing at me, and yeah, it wasn't really a big deal. The police just came over and said, yeah, okay, can show us the photos, okay, delete them, that was it, really. Yeah, in 15 years, that's the only, yeah, the only really real issue I've had.
Can the police do that? Because, I mean, if a police officer were to come up to me now here in Toronto and say, you know, can you delete that? I'm just like, no, it's my right. I have every right to photograph here in public. You can't ask me that. So I would not expect any police officer here in Toronto to certainly do that to me, because I wouldn't oblige. I'd say, you're a police officer. Do you not know the law? And so I'm just curious, is that not like that in Japan? Is it in Japan? Is it if a police officer says, can you delete it, you have to delete it?
To be honest, I'm not sure, to be honest, but there's a guy, you're right, but I guess for me, it's just at the time, it's for, okay, whatever, I just delete it, you know, I can't be bothered with any confrontation, but yeah.
Sometimes it's not worth it.
Yeah, but yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if it was a really amazing photo, then I might have been a lot more hesitant to, you know, delete it, but yeah.
I'd probably do the same thing if I really think about it. I mean, I've never had that happen to me where an officer of the law would come up to me and say, oh, well, can you delete that? I've never had that happen to me.
I mean, I did meet this guy, and he was saying he had this technique where if he always had this spare SD card and he'd quickly switch it over. And that's the trick he used to do, apparently, you know, so he just quickly switched the SD cards quick, and yeah, so yeah.
I've spoken with a few people here on the Street Photography Show podcast where they started off with their phones and then they went to cameras. I'm just curious, for you, when you did make that jump from phone to bona fide professional camera, how was that? How was that transition? Was it like, holy smokes, this is incredible, or holy smokes, this is overwhelming, but I'm going to get through it and now I love it? Like, how was that transition for you? How did you find that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess at first I wasn't really, I mean, looking back when I first started, to be honest, I'm a much more sort of, I don't really like settings or...
Like technicalities. You're not really into too much technicalities, right? You just want to get out there and shoot.
Yeah, basically. And I guess originally I was just shooting manual a lot. And then I had this idea for a workshop. And so I approached a company in Japan called iExplore, and set up by a couple of guys. And one of the guys, Lucas Palka, he said, okay, well, let's meet up and go for it. And but one of the things he was saying to me was, why are you choosing these settings? And he was saying, look, you know, to be honest, I think you're much better off shooting in aperture priority. And yeah, so basically he kind of changed, I guess, yeah, he basically sort of changed the way I shoot for the better. Yeah, so I mean, I guess I had this, the vision, but you know, I guess with the sort of settings, I wasn't really sure exactly why I was doing using certain settings. And yeah, since then, yeah, I guess it's evolved. So, you know, these days, I guess I've been shooting so long now that, you know, most, if it's daytime or night, then I'm for the most part using aperture priority. And then if it's certain situations, I might just shoot manual or shutter priority. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, at first it was a little bit overwhelming when you first make that switch from a smartphone to a proper camera. And you know, even these days, I mean, there's so many things that, you know, modern cameras can do. And yeah,
for all the things these modern cameras can do, I don't even think I use more than probably 20% of those features. Now, you mentioned, you know, your friend. You mentioned your friend was giving you that tip about why are you choosing these settings. And along the way, have you made many photography friends that, let's say, you'll do photo walks with them? Or are you more of a lone wolf sort of guy that you go out on your own and you prefer it that way? Or do you like small groups with friends?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm more... mostly I shoot just by myself. I mean, a couple of reasons. I mean, one, I think if I'm with other people, then I'll just end up talking and won't really focus so much. But the other thing is, you know, between work and family life, you know, I have a 7-year-old and a 10-month baby, then the sort of, you know, the sort of finding the time to go out and shoot, it's sometimes... Yeah.
Oh, I remember those days.
So,
yeah, my kids are in university now. They're actually in their first year of university, both of them, because I have twins. And I remember those days, man, especially if you have twins. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's not a moment of the day that you're going to get to yourself. It's like one finishes and the other one starts crying. Let me put it to you like this. My wife and I were lucky if both of them were sleeping at the same time.
Yeah,
it was like a godsend.
Yeah.
They're actually sleeping.
It's I did know quite a few of the, I joined an exhibition with a group of Tokyo photographers in the summer, and there's going to be another one in January, the 23rd. It's a week long. It's called Gallery Conceal in Shibuya. So through that, I met quite a few other photographers, and actually Halloween's quite big in Japan, in Tokyo. So at that time, I kind of bumped into a few of those photographers and sort of walked around a bit. But for the most part, I prefer just to shoot by myself. But then, you know, I also have photography friends from other countries, and when they come, of course, we'll go out and shoot together.
Cool. Maybe when I come to Japan, I'll look you up.
Yeah, sure.
I've had this dream to come to Japan for the longest time. I mean, I've done street photography in New York City, and that was quite the experience and one that I'll cherish forever. In fact, I would love to go back, because really NYC is not too far from where I am. But definitely Tokyo is one of those places that I want to go to. I wouldn't mind going back to, I mean, I've been to Istanbul in Turkey, which was phenomenal. So I wouldn't mind going back to a city similar to Istanbul, perhaps, you know, somewhere like in South America. Somewhere where there's culture, like it's just bursting at the seam with culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tokyo is definitely one of those places I would love to do some street photography in. So you never know. Maybe I might give you a ring ding.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great place for it.
And it's a great place to buy cameras too.
yeah, definitely.
I know, what's his name there? Bellamy Hunt is there. Japan Camera Hunter.
I think I've heard of him. Yeah. I've never met him personally, but yeah.
But he's more of a film guy, so a little bit different. So maybe that's probably why you're not too familiar with him. I'm a bit of a film guy as well. I'm not a bit. I'm actually a film guy / digital guy. So I still shoot both formats. Have you ever thought about trying film?
Yeah, I mean, I basically had a film camera from when I was about 16 to about 21. So I did shoot film for a few years then. So yeah, I basically did shoot for a few years film, but I don't think I really, at that time, my kind of understanding of photography was, I guess now, you know, you can, with the internet, you can get inspiration from so many places, but at that time, I mean, it was good fun. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was also expensive. I think my camera broke when I was about 21, and I think I had about almost a 10-year period where I didn't touch a camera.
You're right. Well, you think it was expensive then, you should look at it now.
Yeah. So yeah, the camera was, it was a Pratica MTL3. I think that's what it was.
I'm looking at your Instagram feed here. And as I mentioned before, really beautiful work. And I just wanted to pick one image. The one that I'm looking at and the one that I want to focus on is a picture of a lady walking in some sort of, I don't know, maybe it's a metro, maybe it's a mall. I have no idea. It's a black and white image. You posted it on October 11th of 2023. And it's basically a lady in a dress. She's walking and she's, the way you've composed this picture is she's in the middle of, I guess, what seems to be an eye. It's art, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Some sort of art or some sort of something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Her head is dead center in the eye. And I thought, wow, this is phenomenal timing. You know which image I'm talking about, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on this image for the listener's sake?
Yeah, so that's in Shinjuku, and it's it's basically sort of part of the underground metro system. I mean, it's not in the station, but as you walk, come out of the station, it's on the sort of underground part. I think it's been switched off for a while. I'm not sure why, but some things were switched off. I guess with the power companies, since the Ukraine-Russia conflict, so certain things were switched off, and I haven't seen it on for a while. But yeah, it's in Shinjuku, and it's just this cool piece of art. And so I just went there after work and was just waiting for the right person to pass by.
How long did it take you to get that shot?
I think I was there for maybe an hour.
So you definitely had to pack your patience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty patient when it comes to taking photos. I've spoken to other photographers, and had some friends who said they could never stay at a place for an hour or so. But I've definitely stayed at locations for at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Is this one of your techniques that you will use from day to day? Like, would you consider yourself the type of person that just sits and waits?
It depends. So I guess my photography is very location based and quite planned, but it depends. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll be at a location and then you'll see something and maybe you'll be like, oh, okay, that's really interesting, and move off. Or for example, last year I was doing a project for a company shooting festivals. And I guess with that, it's a different, you know, it's not really because there's so much movement with the festivals. And so you're just kind of moving around. So that was a bit of a different approach.
Yeah. So were you using your iPhone here or were you using the Sony?
Sony for that one. Yeah.
What's the image that you picked? And perhaps you can elaborate on that one that you chose for our listeners.
So yeah, the photo I've chosen, it's a photo I took in Niigata at a place called Kyoto Gorge Tunnel, which it's this tunnel of light, it's called, and it was designed by, I think it says, MAD Architects. So anyway, it's just this, there's this beautiful gorge, and then they've made this really cool sort of tunnel that goes through it. It's not that far from Tokyo. I think, maybe a couple of hours.
Yeah. I'm looking at the image. It's really wild, actually.
Yeah. So basically, usually these days, for my birthday, I normally say to my wife, look, you know, I really want to take photos of this place. And so we went there for my birthday, and, it's just a really cool location. And yeah, so I was with, at the time, I think that was maybe 2 years ago. So I was with my wife and daughter. Yeah. So we basically went there. I took a few photos and then I said to them, look, just give me another half hour. So they went off to a cafe, and I think I was there for another hour at least, maybe longer. Got back to the cafe, and normally I just have my wife being annoyed, but this time I've got the daughter as well now. So I really recommend that place as a place to visit.
What's one tip you could give new photographers that, you know, they're just starting out?
I guess one tip would be when I'm doing workshops, so I normally say this to the people I'm teaching is, you know, if you're in a city, yeah, basically just follow as many photographers on your, that are taking photos in your city as possible, just so you might get ideas for different locations, that kind of thing.
So learn from people.
Yeah. I guess another thing would be, so most locations that I visit, I mean, I use app called Sun Surveyor, and it's very useful for just checking, you know, whether a location is going to be in the shade or not, and you can save the locations. I mean, I guess one thing with it, it's not 100% accurate, sometimes maybe like 90%. So another thing I do is I log locations. So any locations I go to, I just make a note of the date, the time, how the light was. So it's like a sort of backup. So, you know, sometimes if I'm, I've got some free time, I think, okay, I want to take some photos, and then I'll look at my, records. I call them shadow records, and just be like, okay, so is this location going to work at this time of day?
You mentioned that you do workshops. When you're teaching in your workshops, what's one question that you get asked repeatedly, or one question that you get asked the most?
Well, okay, a lot of people say, you know, how do you find these locations? Yes, I guess it's, I guess now I have, I've got a load of locations that I know, but if I'm going to visit somewhere new, I'd normally just do a lot of internet searches, looking for interesting locations or interesting buildings, interesting architecture at that location. Usually, I like to use Pinterest to save because I think it's just, you know, you could make a note, but just a visual note is much better. And the other thing for looking for locations, I mean, I'd also get on Google Earth and just look at the location from above, just to see if there's anything like interesting, you know, floor patterns or anything like that.
Going forward, I mean, it sounds like you are working on stuff as we speak. Just wondering, going forward, what are you hoping happens with you in your photographic journey? Are there any plans for you, or are there any aspirations that you still want to include under your belt?
Yeah, I really want to get a book released. So that's one thing I'm really hoping to. I was kind of working on it and with one company, and it didn't really work out. So I want to get back on that. But yeah, I feel like, you know, the last 10 months with the new baby was just a bit sort of a bit of a sort of blur in some ways. You know, just kind of so busy between family life and work. And but yeah, a book would be great. Yeah, I'd probably say that's about it really at the moment, a book. And I've been working on put a new workshop on Viator. It's also on TripAdvisor, called a Yokohama Noir, which is, I have another workshop called Urban Geometry, and that's on the iExplore. A 4-hour workshop, but it's basically going around sort of interesting locations. And the Yokohama one's the same kind of thing, but it's in the next city. But sometimes when you say next city, people feel like it's kind of far, but actually, you know, from Shibuya to Yokohama, it's only 30 minutes on a train, so it's not really like it's that far away.
Thank you so much for joining me here on the Street Photography Show podcast, Lawrence. I really appreciate you coming on and chatting about your work. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And for our listeners, where can they go to see your work and reach out to you if they have any questions?
Yeah, so I guess the main place would be Instagram, and it's Lawrence with 2 underscores Bouchard. I do have a website, although that's just lawrencebouchard.com, but it's still kind of needs a bit of work. So yeah, but on Instagram, and then if you go onto Instagram, there's the link tree. Yeah, links to my website and to the different workshops that I've got.
Yeah, and listeners, we'll have those links in the show notes below, so you can go ahead and click on those and check out his phenomenal work. Again, thank you so much for joining me, Lawrence. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, and yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed the show, please remember to follow and highly rate the show, as it allows me to continue creating more content for you, my awesome listeners. Also, don't forget to join us next week, as new episodes are added on Fridays. Until next time, keep walking and keep clicking. This is Mark Rossi. Bye for now.